Wow, welcome here, everybody. It's good to see you. Who was at Birds Hill at our camp out and baptism? Put your hands up high. So those of you who were there and saw the baptisms happening, saw that Ramona was baptized and also saw that Georgette was baptized. Exciting, yes. And we didn't get a chance to hear from Georgette yet. And so we thought, and just it's okay, like if you're getting your kids, no worries, there's a little bit of buzz, let's just kind of we'll focus. I know we're really good at multitasking. Actually, that's a total myth. Nobody's good at multitasking. But you can grab your kid and then come back to your seat and settle them down and get them in. There's crosswords and stuff. But we didn't get a chance to hear from Georgette. And so Nathan, just before he left on holidays, took a little video of her sharing her story, and it's wonderful. And so we thought, there's no way that we can't hear this. And she's too shy. She doesn't want to be here herself. So she's here in digital form, and we're going to hear her. But just to give a little bit more context for the rest of the morning, because this is about 13 minutes, we're going to try to focus on the gift of indigenous cultures to us. And there's many, many people that have indigenous heritage or who are indigenous, myself as one of them. In fact, I was going to show a little picture, but I don't think we have time, but of like my ancestors, who you might be surprised don't look a lot like me. I look like my dad. But anyways, but the gift of indigenous cultures and of being a place that is welcoming, kind of like the picture in Revelation 7 where it's like every tribe, tongue, and nation gathered around God's throne and all dressed in white and with palm branches and all this kind of weird stuff. But every tribe, tongue, and nation. And God has kind of called us to be who we are and has given us particular identities to live into and to bring, not to leave behind our various cultures behind when we come to follow Jesus. Everything submits to it, but we come through that lens, and he hears us and loves it when we do welcome and come to him as completely ourselves, as completely Mennonite for you Mennonites out there, or completely Métis for us Métis, or Anishinaabe, or Cree, or you know, German, or whatever there are. So I was kind of wrestling to trying to figure out how to do that in 10 minutes, which is obviously ridiculous. But also nothing was really kind of clicking until I invited Margaret to come to my office, and she's sharing, and we're just kind of chatting. I'm just kind of like fishing, you know? Sometimes you're like, God has a mission for you, and you're not exactly sure how to figure it out, and so you just kind of, you go fishing a little bit and see if you pull up anything beyond a boot or a terrier or something, which is, that's how I fish generally. I'm not a very good fisher person. But she started talking about, she started telling this story, and it was just immediately, it was like, whoa. You know those moments where, like, God is there? And it was one of those moments, for me anyways. You were just like, oh yeah, I can see this is the thing, because I was just bawling and whatever. And she's like going on. And I'm like, this is it, this is it, this is what we're supposed to share. So I invited Margaret to share as well. So there's some stories this morning, okay? And let me just read. Oh, no, I'm not going to read. It's okay. So there's no like biblical exegesis or something this morning, and that's okay. We're okay, like, I mean, if we were at a church that didn't ever do that, that would be a problem. But this morning we're going to come through. Well, I'm going to read it actually, just to put it out there. Acts 17, because I see some of you are like, wait a minute. I already read some scripture, but here I just want to read this, and there's a whole bunch. Referred to Revelation 7, there's about five different spots in Revelation where it talks about all the glory of the nations, like every tribe and tongue coming as themselves to worship around the throne. Acts 17, Paul says, he had been wandering through, this is after he had been persecuted and kind of run out of northern Greece, after the Spirit of God had appeared to him in a vision in Turkey and said, come over, do like a cross-cultural mission thing, like bring the gospel into a different, totally different area, different land, different tribal peoples. and come over, and then he went over into northern Greece and was basically run out of there and ended up in Athens, and he's wandering around Athens, which is a cosmopolitan city full of all kinds of gods and statues and temples and idols, all kinds of different things. And he says this, from one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall. He determined their boundaries. And he get this. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God. For all the nations to seek after God. Not to become one nation and leave behind their identities. And I'm not talking about like political identities. I'm talking about your cultural, who you've been made. The ethnos is the words used there. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far away from any of us. Isn't that beautiful? That's the New Living Translation. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. So with that lens, let's listen to Georgette here. That's a great story, hey? Isn't that amazing? So now you know you can go up to her and say, I heard your story, and she'll blush, and it'll be great.
Praise the Lord. Are you happy this morning? Yeah. You know, listening to Georgette, is, I thought she was here, no? Listening to her story, it's similar to mine. You know, and drinking and all this on the street, and well, this is many, many years ago, like centuries to me, you know. But praise God that he's good, you know. And my story is going to be short because you said it all already, you know. And I just jot down some things that came to my mind when the service was on this morning. Shame. When I was a child, I was born in Waterhen Reserve, but we didn't stay in a reserve. We were outsiders because my dad was Métis, and so we couldn't stay in a reserve. So we had about 2-3 miles away from there. And but just to go back a little bit at the early age, I remember where the shame entered into my life. I remember, well, we were poor material-wise, like, you know, I mean, we live in a log cabin with mud in between, you know, and that was cold in the wintertime. But anyway, I remember my mom saying to me, oh, the public health nurse is coming, and we have to clean up our house. So I'm telling you, we were scrubbing and throwing everything out and cleaned the house. And I guess I felt as a child in my mind that somebody was coming, very special, somebody that's better than us. I know it was a white person that was coming. So we made sure that our house was clean. So finally, this person arrived in our house, and she had a briefcase, a white person, blonde, blue-eyed. And we were... I don't know, I felt like we were dirty people. We were not good enough for this person. So this is where the shame, I think, started with me, you know, and fear as well, too. We were afraid of white people. I remember growing up and my siblings, I'm the youngest in the family. There were 6 of us, 5 girls and 1 brother. We were afraid of white people because we were all, you know, living in a wilderness, and we would run away if we knew somebody was coming. We would hide ourselves. So, anyways, because I thought these people were better and good. That's what I thought. Little did I know, in this world, probably they were going through the same thing too. So today, I discover who I am in Christ. I was born again in the Spirit. This is many years ago. Like, I'm not talking about, you know, like, you know, drinking and all that. Like, you know, that was, I was worshiping the devil in that time, you know, because I didn't know. You know, I thought I was having a good time, you know, having a few beers here and there and having fights and stuff like that. I could have been dead if I would have carried on. And, like, I'm just going to jump here and there, like, you know, what comes to my mind. And so that was all over. I stopped what I was doing, drinking, smoking, gambling, and all those other things of the world. And so that's over. And then the Lord put me back to the street ministry. So I'm reaching out the people that are addicts, alcoholics, drug addicts, and sniffers. And that's where I am working every week, twice a week. Love Lives Here Ministries. That's where I am. And I feel that every time I go there, my life is fulfilled. Like, you know, I have that joy in my heart just to touch one soul when I go. And I know the Lord is using me there because, you know, praying for them and desiring my heart that they would find what I have in Christ. And just like that song that you were singing, I know I remember I used to sing that song. It's kind of an old song that's been around for a while. Only you, Lord, can fill my heart. Only you. I tried things, like as I said before, alcohol and all that junk. You know, I thought I was happy, but wasn't. Just like what's her name? Her story. Yeah, I can relate a lot of her story. So anyway, when Andy called me to that he wanted to talk to me about something, and I was kind of excited. What is it? What is it? But I had kind of have a feeling that this is what's going to be like, you know, to share. So I'm just going to quit right there, because if I go on, I can be standing here for another hour talking about me here and there, what I did. Who cares? That's all garbage. That's the past now. And I'm under the blood of Christ now. I'm born again in the Spirit. You know, I'm free. So I am sharing with you that freedom in my heart, not just from my head knowledge, but in my heart. You know, to be like a child, you know, to enjoy His presence when we come together like this on Sunday morning. And I would like to share with you the scripture that the Lord put in my heart to read to you this morning. It's taken from a Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 11. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice." This is what happened to me. That's over 30 years ago. I was awakened by someone from heaven. To this day, I believe it was one of the angels. It was like living waters, like many waters. It was a man, deep, deep voice. 3:30 in the morning, I was awakened. I rolled up my bed, and I never felt the way I was before. I began to see things. I felt different. I could have hugged trees, everything. I had such love. Telephone posted. I was crazy. I was just crazy for Jesus, you know, and I was a crazy woman. I remember one day my husband saying to me, well, he's gone to be with the Lord now. I said, "You're crazy. What's wrong with you?" He says, "You might as well move your bed to the church," because I always find myself in gatherings, like, you know. So praise the Lord. Now, I want to read this to you. "Then I heard a loud voice." It was me. I heard someone speaking to me very loud, saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, yes. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down and overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Something? Yes, that's what I'm doing right now. It's my testimony because I'm covered with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that I am free from the devil and his demons. I'm not saying that. Each one of us have something. You know, we have to work at it. We have to tell to this devil, get lost, get thee behind. I'm a child of God because that's what I am. I am a child of God. And Psalm 30, verse 11, you have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my shame and fears. And have clothed me with a garment of praise and joy. That's what Jesus can do for you. He wants you to be free from within yourself. Not on your head, but in your heart. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might and shouting. Praise the Lord. Now, so I'm going to stop right there. Now, I got some things here. Just a few more minutes. We'll be here till this afternoon. No, just kidding. I haven't used these in a while, but I brought them out. But I want to tell you a little bit about them because they come with scriptures. This here, this tabret here, there's wedding rings there, I can see. There's celebration prayers going on. What it means is for the church, we are the bride. Jesus is our bridegroom, and he's coming very soon, right? Yeah, this is what it means, you know, and this is for the church. We are the bride. We are preparing ourselves for his coming. And this one here, it's all colors. The green color, it means healing in our land, healing in our soul. Not the land, like, you know, the ground. That's not what it means. It means your mind, your soul. And the red color is the blood of Jesus. And the purple is his majesty. We worship him with fear. And the blue is the Holy Spirit, the living water. Yes, that's what it means. So I chose these two to dance. I am going to do the action, what the Lord says in my life. And I know it's for you too, every one of you, not just me, not just for the First Nations people, for all nations, you know? So anyway, I guess we can, it's already 11:30, so I better, yeah. Yeah, just stand up and walk around and clap your hands and join in with the dance. It's sung by Darlene and Terry Waltman, and they're in the States. They have ministries over there, and the Lord has chosen that one song, Rise Up and Dance. It calls Rise Up and Dance. Rise Up and Dance. What does that mean? Rise up. Be alive. Yeah, we're not going to anywhere where it's... Praise the Lord. So if you feel like dancing, dance. All right? Let's practice, because this is what we're going to do on the other side of the heavens, the other part of the reserve. As always, see, the reserve, that big reserve. And we might as well get used to it now, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to praise the Lord, you know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like shouting like David did. And he dances, and I know what David... felt when he was dancing. Because the more you dance, the more the Lord will give it to you. Whatever his love and his goodness, his mercy. You know? So just do it. I'm just going to do it at my heart, with my heart. That's where I dance, in my heart. So every word with Terry, what he said, I'm going to dance into that. It's like a prayer, you know? So praise God. Well, let's get going here. Are you ready? Amen. Okay. Now you're ready. Men, get up. Women, get up. Let's dance. Hallelujah. Let's free ourselves from all the bondages, all those years you've been sitting and sitting and sitting and be quiet, quiet, quiet. Jesus tells us, you're not going to be.
Took off my garment of sadness and clothed me in regalia.